ages that were past, the present age and the future ages coming up, talk about prophecy, things that are going to happen. If God said it's going to take place, it's going to happen exactly like God says it's going to happen. But this morning, I want to reveal my narrow-minded ways. How many of you have a narrow mind? How many of you are married to somebody with a narrow mind? I have a narrow mind this morning. My wife could say amen. She can do this. She can do this. She can do all that. I have a very narrow mind. But my most narrow mind is this. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. I truly believe that the next great event in the church and the next great event in mankind, in humanity, is the rapture of the church. That's the very next thing that's going to take place. And we've seen all the happenings that are going on. And last year at this time, or 2 years ago even at this time, we never thought we would have been where we are right now. Last year at this time, we were not even able to meet inside because of all the virus. And we were meeting outside. And we're doing all those things. We never would have thunk it. If somebody 5 years ago had stood up here in a pulpit, if I had stood up here and said, listen, there's coming a day when a virus is going to invade this land and we're not going to be able to meet, you'd have looked at me like I was stupid. You would have looked at me like, what are you talking about, preacher? You've lost your mind. If I'd have told you that 5 years ago, you'd have said, there's no way. But brothers and sisters, what happened? It took place. Now, I'm standing here this morning to tell you the rapture of the church is going to happen. And I get a lot of blank stares and I get a lot of, well, I hadn't seen it happen yet. What proof do you have and that kind of thing? Now, listen to me. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I believe this is God's holy word. And I believe that everything this word says has happened, is happening, and is going to happen. I don't believe there's any lies or untruths. I don't believe there's any half-truths. I believe this complete book is exactly what God wants us to know. It is the truth. And if it says it, I believe it. Even though there's times I don't like it. Even though I may read it and I say, oh, that hurts, it's still the truth. And you might sit there and think, well, Brother Brian, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's still the truth. So I want to show you how narrow-minded I really am this morning. So I want you to get your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, open them up. There's a Bible in front of you. I want you to see what God's Word says this morning with me. You've got to look it up. You've got to see it for yourself so that you know I'm not making this up. Matthew chapter number 7, how do you get to be part of the rapture? How do you get to be part of what God is going to do and what He is doing right now? Let me show you what Jesus said. This is exactly what Jesus said. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Now, Jesus is speaking to great crowds. This is what's called the Sermon on the Mount, and He's winding it down. He's getting to the point where He's almost done with His sermon. And some of you say, well, Brother Brian, we like it when that's your part of your sermon too, when you're winding it down. Well, here's what Jesus says towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what He says, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He defines two different types of gates. He says there's the broad gate that leads to destruction, and then there's the narrow, the straight gate that leads to everlasting life. Let me ask you this morning, what gate have you entered? What path are you on? Are you on the broad path? The one that everybody else is going on? The one that the world says you're supposed to go on? The one that says this and says that? Or are you on the narrow path. I'm narrow-minded. And I mean that by this. I'm narrow-minded to believe that what Jesus said is true is true. He's not making it up. He's not just saying some words to fill time. He is saying, listen, this is it. It's either the broad way or it's the narrow way. Verse number 15, then he says this. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He says, listen, there's some false teachers out there who say that's not the truth. They say, oh, you can get to heaven any way. You can get to heaven by being good. You can get to heaven by following this person. You can get to heaven by following that person. You can get there by doing all these different things. And if you believe strong enough in your heart that, no, that's wrong. That's the broad way. Brothers and sisters, there's the broad way or there's the narrow way. But there's a lot of slick teachers out there. Now, in our Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about this, and I want to encourage you to be just like the Bereans. I want to encourage you that when you hear anybody teach, from here, on the television, on the internet, or whatever way you listen to the Word of God, take what you hear and apply it to what the Word of God says. Compare the two. And if you see that what the teacher is teaching is not matching up with what this says, don't listen to what the teacher's teaching. He's a false prophet. She's a false prophet. But if it's matching up with what this says, then it's a true prophet. That's why I encourage you, have your Bibles and follow along with what I'm saying. Because if I'm saying anything that is different than what this is saying, I am a false prophet. I want to follow what this says. But here's the caveat that goes with this. If I'm a true prophet, if I'm a true teacher, then you are accountable to what God's Word says. And you've got to choose. I'm going to follow what God's Word says, or I'm going to follow what man says. So he says there's a lot of false prophets. You say, well, Brother Brian, how do we know who a false prophet is? Well, let me show you. Look at verse number 16. Jesus answers that question. He says this, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Do you get grapes from a thorn tree? Do you get figs from a thistles? Absolutely not. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. That's how you can tell what a false prophet is. That's how you can tell what somebody is that's telling the truth. If they're following this and the fruits of their teaching is producing good fruit, then you know they're not a false prophet. Let me ask you a question. What gate are you entering in? What path are you following? Are you following the path of the false teachers? Those teachers that say, well, there's really no God. He's just a figment of your imagination. He just exists to make the people who are weak-minded feel good. There is no God. Or are you following the path that says, well, there may be a God, but he accepts everything. You can have sexual relations with people of the same sex. You can have sexual relations with people you aren't married to. You can kill babies. You can do whatever you want to as long as it feels good, as long as at the end of the day you say, God, I love you, and everything is fine. Or do you follow the God that says, well, there's many ways to get to him? By believing this, by following Muhammad, by following Confucius, by being good, and by helping old ladies across the street, and by paying enough money, and by trusting yourself, there's many different ways to get to God. Are those the paths that you're following this morning? Well, Brother Brian, Professor so-and-so said this. Brother Brian, Dr. So-and-so said that. Brother Brian, Pastor so-and-so taught this. Good, good. What does Jesus Christ say? Now, I said, Brother Brian, you're being narrow-minded. Yes, I am. I'm narrow-minded when it comes to this. I'm also narrow-minded in a lot of different ways, but that's a whole different sermon. I'm narrow-minded because there's only one way. But here's the problem. I can't make you believe my way. I can beg, I can plead. I can't even make my children believe my way. I can't make my wife believe my way. I can beg, I can plead, I can get right down here and I can look right at Daniel and I can look at Camden and I can say this is what the Bible says, but you know what? I can't make them believe. I'm giving the truth. You must choose. Well, Brother Brian, when I get to be an old man like you, then I'll believe. I used to think 30 was old. That's in my rearview mirror, big time. Age is not what it's about. Age is not what it's about. A false teacher will always bring forth false fruit. Who are you allowing to speak into your life? True teachers or false teachers? If I could, I would get saved for every single one of you, if I could. If I could somehow confess Jesus for Ryan, and confess Jesus for AJ, and confess Jesus for Miss Gloria, if I could do it, I would do it. But I can't. You must make the choice. You must receive Jesus Christ, and the call is there to you. But look what he says here. Verse number 21. But not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father in heaven? By trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. A lot of false prophets out there say, well, if you do this and you do this and you do that and you do this, then it's okay. Then you're going to heaven. And there's going to be people that are going to stand before God and say, well, God, I raised people from their sickness. And God, I did that. And I was a really good person. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You've got to be narrow-minded in your belief. You have to be. Because think about it for a minute. If there is many ways to get to heaven, then how do you know if you choose the right way? How do you know if you're doing the right thing? If it was possible for you to do good enough to get to heaven, how do you know when you finally reach that nirvana point? How do you know when you finally get enough chips into the game to make it to heaven? Man, I'm doing all these good things and I'm building up my points up in heaven, kind of like sky miles. And I'm doing all these good things. And do you check a number? Do you call, make a phone call or get on the internet and check your numbers and see how many you got? Wow, I got 2 million points today. Man, I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, wait a minute. That guy cut me off and I said a bad word. I lost 5 million points. Could you imagine living that kind of life? Your actions don't get you to heaven. Your deeds don't get you to heaven. You have to place your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. I don't want you, and I don't want my children, and I don't want anybody who's ever heard me speak stand before God and say, well, God, I heard Brother Brian preach. I didn't even fall asleep when he was preaching. So therefore, I get to go to heaven. I don't want God to look at you and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I want you to go to heaven in spite of my preaching. Amen? He says this, many will say to me in that day, the broad way. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we have cast out devils, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the biggest concern I've had in my life as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, is that people would leave a message thinking they'd been good enough and they'd done enough good works to get to heaven, when in reality, they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Now, what's the end of this? What's the result? Let me show you. When Jesus ends this sermon by saying these words, therefore, because of all of this, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. If you're wise enough to listen to what God's word is saying, and applying it to your life, when the storms of life come, when the doubts come, when the problems come, when the issues of life come upon you, and you're wise enough to build your life upon what Jesus is saying, guess what? Your life won't fail. Because it's founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, the broad way, the ways of the world. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What's your house built upon? Your understanding of what the broad way says? Your understanding of what the world system says? Your understanding of what the false prophets are teaching? Is that what your house is built upon? See, the Bible doesn't say you're never going to experience trouble and tribulation. The Bible never says that everything's going to go fine every single day of your life. It doesn't say that. It does say that tribulations and trials and problems are going to come. They're going to happen. The only difference is, who is your house built upon? Your understanding or what God says? When the rapture takes place, the only people that are going to be left behind are the ones that build their house upon the sand. The false prophets, the broad way, the ones that say, Brother Brian, you're an old man, you don't know what you're talking about. Those are the ones that are going to be left behind. They are the only ones that will be part of the rapture, that will be taken up, are the ones that built their house upon the rock. Now, we'll get into later on in the next few weeks the specifics and the happenings of the rapture, when it's going to take place. We'll get there. But brothers and sisters, what gate are you headed towards? The broad gate or the narrow gate? It's not a conservative or liberal message. It's not a Republican or a Democrat message. It's not a black or a white message. It's not a male or female message. It's the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Please, I beg you, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, do so before it's eternally too late. Please. Brother Brian, you're narrow-minded. How about you? Are you narrow-minded? Are you narrow-minded? Let's stand together and pray this morning. Miss Shirley, if you'll come. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke Satan at this very moment. I rebuke his presence and the demon's presence. I rebuke them and tell them to leave this building. I'm asking you right now that you would put every thought aside that's outside of what God wants right now. I'm asking you right now to consider and to ask God, is what Brother Brian teaching right or wrong? I'm asking you right now to open up your heart, your spiritual heart to God and say, God, am I on the straight gate? Am I going that way? Or am I going the broad gate? There's only two. Those who know Christ and those who don't. Today's the day. Today's the day. And I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you right now to place your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. You say, Brother Brian, when I was 5 years old, I did that. Okay? Did you really? Or did you just say some words because everybody else was doing it? Did you do it to make mom and dad happy? Grandma and grandpa got happy because you did it. Or, Brother Brian, I joined the church. No. Brother Brian, I got back. Well, good. But have you asked Jesus Christ to take your sins, to forgive you of all your sins, and to be your personal Savior? Have you done that? Because if you haven't, you're bound for a place called hell that was not created for you. And God doesn't send people there. People choose to go there. So let me ask you, is Jesus Christ your Savior today? If not, today's the day. He's calling you. He's calling you. If you're a deacon and you've never been saved, come get saved. If you're teaching Sunday school, if you've been living the lie for all these years as a parent, as a child, and you want to make sure today, today's the day. What gate are you going in? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us to the English language and you've helped us to understand it. But most importantly, thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit that teaches us and illumines us. I'm asking you, Father, right now for every precious soul in this very room, because I know, Father, I know that I cannot assume that everybody knows Christ as their Savior. There's some that are good at hiding it. There's some that are good at playing the game. There's some that are choosing to ignore it. And I'm asking you, God, right now that you would draw people to salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Because he's the only hope we have. For it's in his precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Michelle is going to play for a couple verses. If you have something on your heart, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. We'll take the Bible and show you how to deal with that issue. But I'm begging you, respond. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Today's the day.